hypnosis station.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Yeehaw!
Woo-hoo! Blam!
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Hey, welcome, y'all! Welcome to, what is it, Dixon Falls, Pennsylvania? We're having ourselves a classic hoedown.
Woohoo! We're gonna save our town.
Everybody's invited to put on your best cowboy costumes, your denim, your 10-gallon hats. We have the country western shop that just opened around the corner. Please give them your patronage. Let's save the downtown area. Welcome to the hoedown.
Woo! Yeah!
Oh, what silliness. Hey, everybody, welcome to the 10th floor. I'm Matt.
Hey, guys. I'm Kat. Threw you for a loop, didn't you?
Oh,
you
my almost, goodness.
You almost thought, did I? That's not the 10th floor. Did I click something wrong? No, you did not.
No. This is not... This is not what you call a radio show. No, this is a reaction review podcast for ABC's General Hospital. One of the longest running soap operas in history. One of the longest running television shows of all time.
Yes, indeedy.
One of the most well-received, well-awarded, well-loved soap operas in history. They even had a primetime wedding, right?
They did.
Yeah, Luke and Laura got married in the prime time. No, not them?
No, they didn't.
Oh, no?
But they did have something prime time. It wasn't that long ago, like 5 years or so.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
No, I don't know anything about
that. Don't ask me what it was about, though. You know, good gravy, well, I can't remember nothing now, Matt.
Oh, gosh, it's all right. Hey, you know, if you know what we're talking about, because we certainly don't, go ahead and reach out to us on Twitter at 10th floor GH, you know, 10th floor GH at 10th floor GH on Twitter. Say hey, tell us what the heck is going on. Because sometimes
know, man, it must be part of our charm. I don't know, because, you know, I know we are just dead stinking wrong so often. And no one blows us up about it.
Oh, you know, it's, yeah, I don't know, man. Maybe it's because, yeah. It's
well,
the charm.
I'll even give you an example.
Oh, I'm ready.
You remember last week I said that Taggart was one-dimensional, didn't have anything going on outside of being a cop? He had a little sister back in the day. Her name was Gia.
Okay.
And she was Nick's thing. She was Nick's girlfriend. She might have been someone else's girlfriend too. I don't remember what happened to her. Uh-huh. If she moved away, I think she moved away. But he had a beautiful little sister that he was very protective of. And I thought about that after we podcasted last week. I'm like, what the heck?
You know, you said that, you know, I also kind of picked apart his performance that he had been having recently as well. And I was a little unkind. With the review, not, you know, I wasn't like mean or anything, but, you know, it wasn't a positive thing that I was saying about what old Rael was bringing. But this week was totally different.
I agree with you 100%. When I was watching him this week, I was like, well, there you go.
There's the depth of the character. There's some broader range of emotionality. There's some peaks and valleys to the actual performance. Like, it was... I don't know, man. Maybe I was just being too impatient with whatever was taking him away from the camera, and, you know?
I mean, I don't know what's going on with Rael in his life, but he looked way better as well.
All right. Well, I'm
not saying that he looked bad before.
Yeah.
He looked, I could describe him as looking more healthy.
Right. I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway,
well, good for
that was
everybody.
Just one example of me being wrong.
Well,
right,
you
there.
You know, Danny's dead. He's dead. That little boy has been burned to a crisp in the explosion set by Julian. There's no way he survived this one. This is what's going to break Jason and Sam up forever. Danny's gone. Nah, he's fine. He wasn't even there.
Yeah, we were wrong about that one, too.
No, Dev. Dev totally died. Dev just kind of, you know, passed out and never woke up again.
Yeah. And what did Sonny say?
I'm going to go get some milk on the way home.
Dang, that sucks.
Oh, gosh.
That was about it. You know what? He reacted as if Gladys had died.
I don't know, man. I think if Gladys died, there might be a
hoedown.
Just a little two-step and a line dance. I like Gladys, though. I like what she brings to the show. I like what she does. I like the spice that she brings. And honestly, that actress, I really need to learn her name. Her portrayal of just this smarmy piece of crap family member who's out for herself, not even really all that invested in her son unless it improves her life in some way. Mm-hmm. You know, like they had some sort of falling out. Like, clearly Brando was never actually really dead. And that's something that Gladys just told people. Because
reward of some kind.
She and Brando must have had some sort of falling out in which they hadn't talked for years. And so she's like, oh, yeah, no, my son, he passed away. He died in the war. You know, which war? The one, you know, the one that's always going on now, the war.
Something that all of us would go, oh, yeah, well, we know. Yeah, he died in Afghanistan. It's right.
Something somewhere out there. So, yeah, you know, all of that was BS from the very beginning, which has already caused a lot of problems for the Corinthos family, because if it wasn't for that, then they would have gone with a different direction with the whole Dev identity, which then now Cyrus would not be able to hold it over the head of the entire family to keep them in line or to push them to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nasty.
You know, he really doesn't have that much on the Corinthos clan.
Really, he's got that. And whatever gaining and growing power that he has in Port Charles. Now, the weird part is, to me, and I understand that this is a soap opera and we're going for drama and we're trying to show how dangerous the drug that Cyrus has is. But what good drug dealer in his right mind would create a product that kills his customers? Quickly and easily.
Stupid one, right?
Yeah. Like, if it's so easy to overdose on it, you probably shouldn't be selling it in whatever quantities that you are. Like, you're just killing your customer base. It makes not a whole lot of sense. But Cyrus also be ridiculously insane, and we just haven't seen the depths of that yet.
Maybe that's it. He is. But you're right. I didn't think about that. You're right. You know, if people are... I mean, how many new addicts do you need if they're falling off the tracks every day?
You know, like, okay, so create something that's addictive that people are going to always want, something that they're going to feel like they need. That makes logical criminal bad guy sense.
Wouldn't it be funny next week if there was a phone conversation and he tells them to dial it back? People are dying too much.
you know, and then we'll take credit for it, saying, "Oh, thanks, Frank Valentini. You're our number one fan. Thanks for always listening." But what it really is we just know we can see where the story is going. We're able to pick up on the small beats.
Yeah.
And accurately predict where it's going. I guess. I don't know. I'm just kind of, you know, being egotistical and braggadocious about myself today. You know, had a couple of cups of coffee. I kind of mixed some latte powder in with my actual coffee. And so, you know, I'm feeling a buzz. Feeling like Brit with my hands trembling.
Do you drink coffee at work too?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How many cups of coffee a day would you say you drink?
Two. Just definitely.
Only two?
I have one when let's get into the personal life here. I have one when I wake up, and I have one probably about 2 hours later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm just curious. Especially now that you don't
live
around me anymore.
It's great Corinthos coffee.
Is it great?
Straight from the South America, imported into Port Charles, New York, processed right there. Right there on the docks, ground up into a fine coffee-like powder. And then you run some hot water through it and you drink it.
Wonder if you can buy a Corinthos coffee. I know you can buy a mug. I know you can get a Corinthos mug. I know that.
Yeah, I just wish that they weren't so stupid expensive. That store is expensive.
Oh, the ABC Disney store? Well,
I'm not going to spend $25 on a t-shirt. Come on. Leo? Whatever, that's me. Hey, you know, we got to talk about a show. We got to talk about the show.
Oh, yeah, we got to talk about the show, of course.
We got to talk about the show. So, okay. So what is it? What's the deal with all the gun violence in Dixon Hall, Dixon Falls? That's what I want to know.
Well,
there's a lot of gun violence in Dixon Falls. For such a small town community, everybody's pulling a gun on somebody and trying to take their money.
That's Elijah.
Like twice, somebody's pulled a gun on Phyllis in the time that Sonny Mike Sonny's been there.
Yeah, it's only been like a couple of months, huh?
Yeah, and that's twice. And then she's all like, and then the man has to come save the day. And then the same thing happens to Nina and Jax, and then the man has to come and save the day. How come Nina didn't jump in front of the gun and fight the man?
Well, why? Because, well, it just depends. Like, well, no, that chick's not going to do that with a guy there.
I don't know, but, man.
Now, if she would have been with another woman, maybe Nina would have done that. It would depend on who the other woman was. If it was Carly would have been a little more assertive than her.
Now, of course, it is important that Jax was the one that got shot. So later on, Nina can be like, oh, no, you just saw some sort of weird vision in your haze. That wasn't Sonny. He's crazy. You're dead. He's dead. You're crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly what's probably going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they just barely missed each other. Just once again.
Probably gonna happen. Yeah, you know, there was lots of cowboys there, wasn't there?
There was lots of cowboys, you know? And yeah. You're doing all this for $100. Why? Why? Just put the gun down. You don't gotta do this. You're gonna spend 10 to 15 years in jail!
For what?
For what? For $100?
And you crack me up too. Nina, she got all beyond herself when she saw him with a hat on, huh?
She sure did. She was all like, woo-hoo-hoo. I'm all tingly on the inside. What's going on?
Ooh, I feel fancy.
I haven't felt like this since I was 14 years old. Hello, Mr. Corinthos.
Oh, yes. And she made poor Elijah. He couldn't get a dance. He couldn't get a conversation out of her. When she saw Sonny with a hat on, she got all perclumped.
Just I'm all perclumped. I just gotta come over here and clutch my pearls. My goodness gracious. Mike, whatever your last name is, goodness.
Exactly. That's exactly what she did. And Elijah, he was like, I mean, he brought her to the dance.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't paying him no mind.
Dumped him right at the door.
Dumped him at the door, exactly. She got dumped. He got dumped at the door faster than an eighth grade dance, I'm telling you.
Nina's picking up her old tricks from her early teen years. Where she goes to the dance with a respectable man just so her parents are okay, but dumps him at the door to actually, you know, hang out with the bad boy.
Exactly. Exactly.
Except this time, you know, I mean, you know, it's not like Sonny's like a good boy, but Mike is. So it's kind of in reverse, you know. She dumped the bad guy at the door and went with the good guy. Yeah, I don't know. Elijah's trying to take everybody's money. He's trying to hide his past.
But she doesn't realize he's a bad guy yet.
No. Sonny sees him for what he is. I know what you are. Mm-hmm. You don't just do this embezzlement thing and get away with it. You don't just what is it? A payout? A thing? What is it? Settlement. Settlement.
Yeah.
You just take a settlement if you're innocent. I know these things because I'm really a criminal. I just don't remember. Now Nina did finally do the thing that I was wondering how long it would take, which is make some sort of reference to Sonny's life on accident.
She did.
And she finally did it. You know, given the things that you've done.
Mm-hmm. She did.
Yeah.
Well?
What do you do? What do you mean by that?
Mm-hmm. Covered it up kind of good, though.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you don't know what you've done, so how can you judge anybody not you know, and where you've been and what you've done and who you've crossed over and maybe killed or stole from or manipulated or hated? drugged.
I like the fact, you know what I liked about Silly Phyllis?
What's up?
And she took Lenny, tucked him in, and said, see ya, I'm still having fun, bye.
Ah, Lenny. Oh, man. Lenny's one of those guys that, you know, he's good. He's a good guy at heart, you know? Like, he's a good man. He means well. He wants everybody to succeed. He's giving. He's understanding. He's caring. But he also feels like he needs to put on this I'm a man front. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That I'm not sure really it matches who he really is on the inside. You know what I mean? So he's walking around and he's doing his thing. And I thought it was really weird and funny and interesting when he went and grabbed, it was Jax who showed up. Jax showed up and Lenny's all like, he kind of like puffed up his shoulders and kind of burst out his chest a little bit. And then he was all like, what do you think, Nina? What do you think? You think I'm going to go get Mike and just walk this guy off the property, huh? I mean, essentially, that's what I got from it.
She's backpedaling really hard, trying to keep everybody apart.
Oh, yeah. Please don't go around this corner. Please do not go to the other side of this party.
Until them cowboys showed up, them evil cowboys with their pistols.
I'm not mad anymore, Jax. I just want you to live.
Yep.
He'll be fine. He's shot higher than the heart, you know. He's okay.
Now, I have to give General Hospital a little bit of props, okay?
Oh, yeah. Okay, proper credits.
Okay. They explained how quick he could get there, Jax.
Oh, with the Vesna.
He took the Cessna out on the Cessna.
Yeah, the Cessna. Hey, Jocelyn, you want to go on the Cessna with me?
Same plane your grandpa had.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, that's nice. Oh, what a blast from our past. So, yeah, Jocelyn, you want to go for a ride with me? Let's go surprise Nina. This is a great idea to bring my daughter here with me.
And I can't tell you what word it was he said, but he did say a word this week where it has definite accent on it.
It's just the heaviest of Australian on it.
Just one word. Just one word.
Oh, man. I know you remember that time where he just really pumped it up for when he said Nell for that one episode.
He was Aussie back in
Nail.
The day.
Nail. Like one
it
day
almost
of,
sounds country, huh?
Nail. Kind of. I don't really, like, I don't know. Jax, is it ego? Is it just him, just his Jasper Jax arrogance that is pushing him to, like, think that it would be okay to invite Jocelyn to go surprise a woman who doesn't really want to see him? And then goes by himself anyway? And then doesn't listen to the people who's like, this is a bad choice. What are you doing? You need to leave. And he's like, no, I'm going to go find my ex-girlfriend. Once she sees me, she's going to fall right back in love because I'm Jasper Jax. Like, is that what?
Well, it has worked for him in the past. I don't think Jasper Jax, I don't recall on General Hospital where he pursued a woman and didn't get her.
Well, I mean, getting shot seems to have earned him some major points with Nina.
Mm-hmm.
You know, seeing him near death, I'm just not mad anymore. But I can't allow you to see Sonny. Oh, God, no.
He's going to the hospital, isn't he?
He's going to the hospital. Nina's riding along. Jax saw Sonny. Sonny saw Jax. And the camera paused on Sonny, Mike, Sonny.
Mm-hmm.
As he was like,
This is
weird.
Jax was able to focus and see who it was. But
Sonny, yeah,
he's not going to remember, or he's going to vaguely remember, and it's going to be explained away in some kind of something.
You just saw something. That's how weird. Oh, goodness. That's a strange thing to have seen, Jax. Let's make out. Don't think about it.
Oh, by the way, hon, could you put this black felt cowboy hat on?
I need you to grow a little stubble and dye your hair kind of black white.
She cracked me up this week. It's like when he put on that hat, it was like, whoa.
You don't understand, Carly. You don't understand. When he was Mike, when he didn't have all the Sonny baggage, I saw what you see, Carly. I saw it. I saw the man that you fell in love with, not the criminal, not the mastermind, but the man behind him. It's coming. It's coming.
Yep, that's where it's coming. That's what's coming. And you know what? Oh, and oh my gosh. Carly's going to have a few things. Oh, you think you're going to have my man and my grandson? You're going to have either one. And then she's going to slap the crap out of her.
I think Carly's going to beat the tar out of Nina. I really think this is going to come to violence. I just don't see any other way around this not coming to Carly just decking. I mean, I guess slapping because it's daytime TV. But in my mind...
Oh, I want a backhand slap.
And
I want her to get her with the back of her hand as hard as she can get her, and she's going to fall down. And you know me.
So when the slap does come, I want everybody to translate that moment in their minds into what really happened, you know, that isn't edited for daytime TV, which is Carly with a closed fist and all of the gigantic rocks that she has been bought by Sunny over the years on each finger, just against wham! The cheekbone.
Yeah.
Nina down, out, bleeding.
She's going to have permanent little. Got a pear shape up here. Then she's going to have a princess cut right here.
Yes.
Oh, man, you know me. I'm all on board. I love to see a cat fight on the TV.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. It's just it's left over from those Jerry Springer years. I understand. Just messy people fighting on TV. You love it.
Oh, man. And if they can be a little bit, I don't know, just a little bit Honey Boo Boo Family, it's even more enjoyable for me.
They need that West Virginian family to come move up to Port Charles, you know?
Oh, yeah. The Wild Whites of West Virginia. And I don't mean that in a skin tone, folks. That's their last name, okay?
Yes.
Look it up.
It's an interesting documentary, a very interesting insight into how a particular family lives in a particular region of the United States.
It's crazy.
But yeah, it might be interesting. I mean, remember when, all my children, when Babe and Crystal came and joined the cast and such, and it was different because they were... clearly they had like a family cultural Southern difference versus all of these uptight New York people. Yeah. You know, there was well,
Babe always called her mama,
you know, and it was still classy, you know, it wasn't like, you know, they weren't like trailer park people or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But there was just like this different flair about them that was just very nice and refreshing and different. And really set them apart from everybody else. And for me, it made me really enjoy Crystal Carey, the mom.
Yeah. I liked her.
I did.
I wonder if she's shown up on another soap post to all my children. I don't know. Maybe on another network and we're unaware.
I don't know, but that's another character that if they wanted to revive somebody from All My Children, they could bring over Crystal Carey. I think she'd fit.
Yeah.
I like her. She can hang out with Marty. She can hang out with Marty.
Yeah, well, they were together.
I know. Lots of Mardi Gras this week.
Lots of Mardi Gras this week. Yes.
Maybe we should just placate our brother. If we want safety, we just need to, like, kiss his butt a little bit, Laura. just make him feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, that's what happened.
All we got to do is just suck up a little bit to the big bad monster.
Big bad monster, the hateful ponytail.
The hateful and heartless one. I'm the one with the heart of gold. I just make poor decisions sometimes to protect myself from some fallout that my brother has done. Not me, but my brother.
Not that I don't hate money, because I do.
I do like money. I like especially with Bill and Valentine Cassadine hours. He really likes to pull me into the stuff, and so I like to go.
Yeah, Valentine took him to the Quartermain house.
You brought your lawyer? As father of this child, I have certain rights, and I want to make sure that I...
You know what? Her reaction was hilarious. It's like kind of what you said. Well, where am I going to? I got to find a baby now.
Find a baby. Yes. Yeah, see that? Look at that. Sometimes we are right. Oh man, I didn't think I was gonna need to get a baby. I thought he'd be able to, he would get, clearly she thought that she would be able to be like, hey, give me your shares in exchange for parental custody, and to be like, aha, I got the shares. Just kidding, I was never pregnant the whole time.
Yeah,
but that's not working, is it? Oh, she's obviously winding up with Maxie's baby. That is clearly written on the wall. I look forward to it all coming down, and I like them laying down the path brick by brick by brick. We can't rush these things. Otherwise, it's not satisfying.
Yeah.
You know?
And, yeah. Now, and you know, the baby, the baby's going to pass. No, it's not going to be... looks so different than what they expect. You know what I mean?
I mean, I suppose. Like, at first, sure. But my issue is when that baby starts to grow hair.
Yeah.
Peter's light-haired, isn't he?
He has
Maxie's
like a
light-haired.
Yes.
Valentine in Brooklyn, a dark Brooklyn, Italian, New York, Greek.
Yes. The Cassadines are Greek. And the Cirillos. Cirillo.
Yes.
The Cirillos are Italian.
Yes. Maybe, you know, maybe it's because of the Quartermain DNA, you know? I mean, you know, maybe because of the, I don't know. Wow, the baby is so light-haired. It's just weird. Recessive genes.
Gee, look at you. Looks just like Lila.
Looks just like Lila Quartermain. What a crazy coincidence. Oh, my God. We should name the baby Lila.
And how come she looks so much like Felicia?
That's so interesting. Oh, my God. It's weird. He's got Frisco Jones' nose. That's weird. Suddenly, Rosie Perez is playing Brooklyn Quartermain. Whatever.
Like you said, it's all just a little bit exaggerated, right? Just a little bit. You're right, though. Rosie Perez. Now, I saw her on a little series that I really enjoyed. Rosie,
are you talking about Rosie Perez?
Yes.
Okay.
Called The Flight Attendant.
Okay. Sounds
and
sounds dramatic.
She stripped off her accent for it.
Oh, really?
It was just so minute. She stripped off her accent for it, and it just seemed weird as all get out to see Rosie Perez not talk like that.
I wonder if that's maybe how she really talks, and the thick weird accent is like the Pauly Shore, you know, dude. You know what I mean?
Could be.
Maybe. I don't know.
But could be.
I don't know either, man. I'm just sitting here watching TV, doing terrible impressions, and reacting to my own strangeness.
In your weirdo mama.
Just chilling, hanging out, having a great time on a Sunday afternoon, talking about General Hospital. We only had 4 episodes this week, so, you know, Jack's got shot.
Yeah, and you know... What irritates me so bad about that kind of stuff when it happens? It messes up my DVR. My DVR is thinking that it's a repeat, and it doesn't record sometimes. When they have missed an episode, preempted an episode, and then it just messes up my DVR.
So it doesn't catch it the next time? Because I hear you.
Yeah.
Well, luckily, you have the Hulu, you know, you're able to find it another way.
And what's a benefit as well in Hulu land, if you're on the West Coast, you see that nonsense as 5.
Yeah.
You know, what East Coast is not coming on until 7 on the Hulu.
On the Hulu, for sure. Yeah. You know, it's still later than if you were to be able to watch it on broadcast TV.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's not 7, it's 5 here.
Right. So, you know, hey, awesome, cool. You know, that also works for, like, movies and new releases for TV shows and such because, you know, they'll drop at midnight, but it's 9:00. Yay! Oh, man. So, I guess Scotty and Obrecht are just, like, teens in love. Zay!
Yeah.
Hey, Dr. O. It's me. I was wondering if maybe I could just come back.
What does he call her? He calls her something. He calls her...
Fraulein.
Fraulein. That's
Fraulein.
Frau. Yes, he does. I just love Scotty. He's so funny.
He's just so goofy. I do enjoy
him. He's just
him.
Such a character. I love him. he's such a character.
Oh, man. No, they're going to be great together. I really look forward to the next several years of Scotty and Dr. O. It's got legs. It has legs for days.
You know what? There is no reason to split up them. Don't split them up. Leave them together. Good gravy. I love it.
You know, they're older grandparents.
The comedic charm
of
Brett and Scotty is off the charts.
Yes. This is the pairing. This could be soulmate to Scotty Baldwin. The woman I've been looking for my whole life. I finally found her. And you, Dr. O. And you, exactly. Liesl. I'll defend you to my dying breath.
Oh, and Scotty. What does Liesl have to say about Scotty?
Oh, she's got to say just wonderful things about this wonderful gentleman who's just within sometimes.
He's wild as his hair.
He's as wild as his hair, and I love it. And I love him.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, leave them together. Frank, yeah,
I mean, it's just getting started.
You leave them together. Frank. You break up anybody. I'm
attacking you on
care.
Twitter. I would never.
No.
I would never either. So are Michael and Willow going to like bang in the hospital at some point while Chase is trying to recover?
Well, you know, I tell you what, the 10th floor supply room has seen action before.
Just right next to the gauze bandages.
So are those showers and dressing room. Hey. That seems maxing too. Back in the day, Patrick and Robin.
All the time.
They did it in the hospital more than they did it at home.
The last hospital love scene we had was between Molly and TJ.
Oh.
Yeah, some showers.
Yeah.
It was a while ago now. It was Valentine's Day around.
Yeah. But you know, thank goodness, I was thinking, and he reacted the way I thought he would anyway, but Anna finally told Finn the freaking truth.
Yeah, we were right about his reaction. How could you keep
this from me?
Mm-hmm.
My son could have died.
Like almost verbatim.
He was yelling.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah. He was like showing some old McBain kind of energy. What?
How could you do this to me, Anna?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was pissed, wasn't he? I thought, when Peter was antagonizing her there in the stairwell, my gosh, girl, shoot him in the stairwell, please,
just
will you?
Push him down the stairs and grab that vial.
Yeah, push him down the stairs, exactly.
No, he doesn't have anything else going on.
And then when he gets to the landing of the next floor, run down there and push him again.
Push him all down.
Push all the way down to the front floor.
Ninth floor. Eighth floor. Seventh floor. Sixth floor.
You get our drift, guys.
Fourth floor. We skipped one.
Yeah. And that very bottom floor got a cement floor. That's where his head needs to go, conk.
And then shoot him.
And then shoot him.
Oh.
But at least she didn't, you know, he's been baiting her real bad with what I will do, what I might do, what I will do, what I might do.
Yeah.
And she finally is like, no, she went and told Finn the truth.
Maybe you can get the residue off this vial. I'm so sorry.
Mm-hmm.
This is all my fault. You're right, it is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he was mad as hell, wasn't he?
I wish I never met you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I told you that was going to be the final bang, bang, bang for them. Yeah, that was it.
Absolutely.
They're done.
Absolutely.
No, they are
never
done.
Trust you again, Anna.
Well, you know, now he got an eyeball on Liz anyway.
We'll see. Elizabeth's on like a vacation. I don't know where she's been.
Well, he would talk to her this week at the nurse's station. Oh, yeah, yes, he did.
Yeah.
He talked to her this week.
Yeah. Well, you know, give him a little time to get to know each other.
Mm.
You know, we gotta resolve the whole Franco murder thing before Elizabeth can start like dating someone. I mean, sure, they can like comfort each other for an evening, but you know, before engaging in a new relationship, they should probably solve the murder of her ex-husband.
Well, you know, maybe it'll happen before it should if they buy a new mattress or something.
Gosh, it's a new mattress. You know, there is an element to reality to that, though. I know that everybody, you know, you christen a new mattress in a particular way. You know, it's not the first time you sleep in it. It's not the first time you change the sheets. It's the first time you, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a draw to it. And it's true to life. So I'm with it. So yeah, buy a new mattress, folks. Buy a new mattress. Everyone, just get new mattresses. It's good for your back. It's good for your love life. It's good for your soul.
There you go.
And, you know, go to Sleep Train or something and tell them all the time that you went because we told you. That way they can call us and be like, oh, thanks for all the business. Here's some money. We don't have a deal. They're not a sponsor or anything. But if you tell Sleep Train that you bought mattresses because we mentioned it, maybe that'll help. I don't know how these things work.
That's going to be on deaf ears, Matthew. Sleep Train's gone.
Oh, no.
Well, I guess that's not going to work. Mattress firm, dude.
Well, then tell mattress firm. I don't know. These things. Clearly, I haven't bought a bed in ages.
Ages.
There was a Sleep Train across the place from the house I grew up in.
Yes, there was, right? Yeah. By Walmart. Huh?
Yeah, there you go. That's why I was out. That's the reference from my youth.
Yeah. From your youth.
Mm-hmm. Crap. So Willow's not pregnant, though, right? Is she pregnant from that?
I thought she was going to be pregnant from the first tryst, and I was wrong about that.
That's true. In their child's room.
Yeah.
Was the first time they did it. Was in their son's bedroom.
Yeah, when they were painting it, right?
When they were painting the wall, yes. Because why? They wanted clouds.
Mm-hmm.
And you did it in your child's bedroom. Almost what twice in a row.
That little dude that plays Wiley, the twins that play Wiley. Yeah. Man, what their mama give them with growth hormone or something? Those boys have gotten so grown so much.
They're going to be like so six different. Before you know it.
They are big boys. I think they're like...
She's making sure they eat all the vegetables because these kids need to age quickly. Otherwise, they're going to be recast. So she's trying to get them like, you know, you need to look seven as quick as possible. Yeah. Look seven. We need this money, kids.
Eat those carrots.
Vegetables.
We need to have enough income from y'all being Wiley to pay for a little bit of college. So
they need to like you so much they never recast. You need to be Jonathan Jackson. What's your name?
Jonathan.
Your name?
Jackson.
That's right.
That's so funny. You're anyway,
Robin Scorpio.
Yeah, you know that there hasn't been that many. Jonathan Jack, and you know there is some rumor. I don't think it's true necessarily, but there's rumor he's coming back.
But didn't he do an interview with Soap Opera Digest? Doesn't that mean something?
Usually.
They were mentioning, so here's why that might make sense, because they were mentioning members of Elizabeth's extended family that she doesn't really interact with anymore. Specifically Jeff, her father. You know, I don't really have a close relationship with him anymore. That doesn't necessarily mean, we'll fix it, bridge it, that doesn't necessarily mean that she's going to go in that direction, but she might reach out to somebody else that she loves and trusts in Lucky.
Maybe
that's her future.
They keep on mentioning her sister as well.
Yeah.
Sarah.
Yeah, well, maybe there's going to be a Weber family reunion, or at least an Elizabeth family reunion.
Maybe.
That'll be cool.
I would love it.
You know, they could bring Granny in or whatever her name is. Grams.
Gran.
Gran, yeah. Gran.
Yeah, Rachel Ames.
Gran Weber. They could bring her in.
Audrey.
Yeah. They could do...
Audrey Hardy.
Yeah, they could do Lucky, you know? They got plenty of options to choose from Lucky, too, you know? There's a couple of actors.
Oh, yeah. You could have J.R.
Isn't he still on Bold and the Beautiful or something?
I think so.
Jacob Young.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Just leave him.
He did play Lucky for a couple years. He never, ever, I was never sold on it. Now, Greg Vaughn did a great job of Lucky. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. But nobody's Jonathan Jackson, though. That would be probably, that's like Lucky Prime.
Lucky Prime. And you're right. They never aged him up. And he was just like 8, 9 mm-hmm. years old when he came on the show. Yeah. They never aged him up. They never changed him. You know, he sailed into adulthood and was the same person, which is rare.
Like, Spencer's on the same trajectory. They keep on mentioning him. I don't think that Nicholas Bechtel, the actor, I don't think he's really involved in anything too deep outside of whatever Disney job he also had. But
yeah, he's on Twitter a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I think he streams video games. That's a thing celebrities do now too. That's a big part of their fame and gaining their fan bases. A lot of these younger celebrities are now on Twitch playing video games and such for their audience.
Oh, you know, that's a big deal with actual NASCAR race car drivers too.
Oh yeah, they race on mm-hmm. Twitch.
Yep, they race on something.
That's so silly.
I'm not sure what it is, but yes, they do.
I'm with it.
And so, it's a huge following.
We need a video game company out there to develop some sort of massively multiplayer online soap opera deal. You know, like a Sims type simulator where you just create your little avatar and you can live in Port Charles and interact with other people and get in dramatic situations. We can stream that.
Sure.
You know, people play this role play server for Grand Theft Auto where they all pretend to be cops and robbers and such. We can do that with soaps. Come on, let's be creative.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
I'm gonna be some street girl that likes to slap people.
I love it. I'm going to be the well-mannered disc jockey with a secret nightlife full of illegal flower distribution. Ah.
Well, what kind of flowers? Are they poppies?
Oh, yes, of course.
You work for
some... I'm selling poppies to Cyrus.
There you go.
But in the morning, I'm going, good morning, Port Charles! And nobody knows.
Nobody knows. Oh, man, that's perfect, Matt. I think Cy and Marty, they need a little brother.
They need a little brother?
They need a little brother. That's going to be you.
They didn't know that Laura,
Leslie, and Florence were actually pregnant at the same time. And you are that little boy.
Frank Valentini, I know you're listening. You don't know what I look like, but you know what I sound like. Cast me. I look just like Jeannie Francis. I'm a spitting image of Jeannie Francis. You take Jeannie Francis and you darken her hair and you put some gray streaks in it, and then you give her a beard that also has some gray streaks in it, and then you put some glasses on her face. That's me. That's me. I look just like her. Really, honestly, Frank, what I'm trying to do is meet Jeannie Francis so then I can meet Jonathan Frakes and then know Commander Riker. That's honestly my whole goal. That's the only reason why I even watch General Hospital is because Laura's married to Commander Riker in real life. So, you know, that's the only thing I care about.
No, it's not the only thing. It might have something to do with why you watched the first time. Hey, you know what?
What's up?
Wouldn't that be wild, Matt? When we went to con next year, he happened to be there just hanging with his
Jonathan.
Wouldn't that be cool?
How you doing, Commander Riker? I watched you a lot when I was a kid.
You're gonna like Hello. Fan out and be all weird.
Hello.
I think it's actually kind of hard not to fan out sometimes.
Sometimes. I don't know. I can't say that I've really interacted with a lot of celebrities in my life. Generally speaking, the celebrities that I have come across are not national, wide, well-known super celebrities or anything. It's people that are like well-known in like wrestling. You know, yeah. If you're a wrestling fan, you know who the Hurricane is. And I've met the Hurricane, you know?
You sure have.
You know, and I don't know, like I can't necessarily say that I super fanned out, but I can't also necessarily say that I was extremely comfortable having those conversations.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I think it's just a matter of getting to know people. I
remember somebody you met that was very kind.
Okay.
Pretty kind to you.
Are you talking about...
Pretty normal.
Are you talking about Dylan Cash?
No, I'm talking about Rob Lowe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Rob Lowe was cool. Yeah. He was nice. He was nice. But, you know, it was a professional setting. I was a caterer. I had to offer him that sparkling water, and he had to be nice to me in return. And he's also incredibly short. Oh, my God. He's a shrimp. He's itty-bitty. He's this big. He's tiny. He itty-bitty. He's the littlest man in the world.
Well, there's a few celebrities that are kind of short. Like, for instance, Tom Cruise, like 5'7".
Yeah, something like that. Something like that. Mm-hmm. Itty-bitty. Itty bitty. Yeah, you know. Mm-hmm. But we did. We told the story on one of the early podcasts, probably on the first one, about meeting Dylan Cash, one of the first actors who had played.
The original Michael.
Yeah, one of the original actors who played Michael. Yeah, maybe not as a super infant baby, but once he started to toddle, I think it was Dylan Cash up until he was about 12.
Yeah, we met. Yeah, well, we might. You know, that was a long time ago. Let's tell the story again. Why not?
Yeah.
So we were down there and we were staying in Universal City. That's where we were. Mm-hmm. And we were on a family vacation. Matt was, you were 20?
Yeah, something like that. I was an adult.
And your sister was about 16.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, you were about 20. We were down there as a family, staying in Universal City because we were going to Universal Studios the next day.
Yeah.
And my teenage daughter, 16, and her best friend were downstairs, you know, just walking around the hotel, seeing if there was anybody.
Not wanting to be with the grown-ups.
Not wanting to be with mom and dad. So here they come running upstairs. Mom. We think that little boy that plays Michael, you know, that little redheaded boy, Michael, on your General Hospital, I think he's downstairs at the pool. No, he's not.
No way.
He's not.
He's just some redheaded kid. What are you talking about?
He's not. Yeah, Mom, I think it's him. You need to go down there. I'm like, all right. If I go down there, I'm trying to be cool about it. You know, I'm not trying to be like creeping on this little boy, right? And sure enough, there was Dylan Cash right there I saw him in the laundry room, actually. Mm-hmm. That's where I spied him, which was right off the courtyard where the pool was.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, it was little Dylan Cash. And he was living there at the time. And it was right after... he got put in a coma.
After that, so Michael got shot in the brain.
He had just lost his GH gig, actually.
Yeah.
But we hung up. You guys hung out with him for a little while. Yeah. Played pool with him. Hung out with him. You know,
enjoyed interacting with these teenage girls.
Oh yeah, he had two 16-year-old girls that were, you know, attractive little 16-year-old girls, both named Melissa, and that was funny. Yeah,
she had the same
name. It was
cool.
Yeah, you know, and he put up with me.
And he's like, "Yeah, you're another one of those fans."
Another one of those grandma fans.
I gotta play nice to you, so they'll come down and shoot some more pool with me.
Yeah,
he was living in a hotel, just living the Hollywood life, really. Coming off of that regular gig on General Hospital for sure. It's clear that they like you knew what was going on. Like, mm-hmm. I remember us talking about it after you had interacted with him and met him, that you're like, yeah, they just shot him in the head. He's in a coma. They're going to age him up. I don't think they're going to bring that little kid back.
No. No.
Yeah.
But it was super fun.
It was neat.
Weird twist to that vacation.
Yeah. And it's interesting, you know, when you run into somebody that you do recognize, and to recognize somebody at that amount of fame level where they're still like chill enough to want to interact with people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, soap stars are cool to recognize. They're well known, but also like they're not so well known they can't go to the mall.
Right.
You know, and so that just leaves a level of like, chill. Oh, cool. You recognize me. I'll interact with you for a little while. Awesome. Rather than having to constantly be approached by people all day long. That used to happen. Like in the 80s and such.
I think somebody like Steve Burton would get recognized almost every outing.
Probably.
But maybe not Bradford Anderson.
No. No.
You know, and especially since he doesn't live in the LA area, he lives in the Sacramento. He lives in Sacramento, which is only about 45 minutes from me, y'all.
Y'all. Listen, my is going to start stalking him. It's not going to be long before we start posting pictures on Twitter of what his house looks like.
No. I would not do that to anybody.
I'm kidding, everybody. Not. It's a joke.
I would not.
She's winking. But I would She's winking not at me.
I would not be above being on one of those star little stupid buses.
Yeah, like you know, going on one of those Hollywood star tours. Yeah, for sure, for sure. We should put together. We should put together a soap opera one. You know, this is where Sujin Lucci lives in Los Angeles. It's just a regular house. It's regular house after regular house after regular house.
Well, she might live in L.A. because when all my children ended, they had moved to L.A. already.
It was a long time ago, though, so she could be anywhere. She could be living in North Polk, Nebraska.
Well, actually, I think a lot of celebrities do exact that. They go, they move to Idaho. They move to Ohio. They move to the Dakotas. They move somewhere where people will leave them alone a little bit.
To South Dakota where there's about 4 people per square mile. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I'm for it. I'm with it. If I were to suddenly have millions of dollars at my disposal, not that these people are like tremendous millionaires or anything, but the ones that have been on forever have to be worth a couple mil, I would think.
I don't know.
I would
depends
think.
On how his den depends on what they've done with their money.
I mean, there's no way that Nancy Legron isn't loaded, you know? There's no way that Laura, you know, Laura Wright isn't loaded. There's no way Maurice Bernard isn't loaded. Unless they're loaded on drugs. But I don't think they're doing that. They wouldn't be able to maintain their jobs. They got to go to work a lot.
Yeah, they do.
They got to go to work a lot. Okay? Especially somebody like Laura Wright, who plays Carly. She's a main event player. She's involved in a lot of stories. Some people say too many. I say just enough to push Carly over the edge and send her to whatever is going next for her story. Yeah, she's in a lot right now. More than she has been in the last couple of years that I've been watching. And that has to be on purpose.
It's got to be on purpose. And I actually, I love her as the crime boss. I think she's going to be great. That 5 families meeting. I think she's going to be great. And I think that 5 families meeting is going to get complicated. Somebody's going to come to her rescue.
Somebody new, somebody shocking, somebody like, what?
You know, Sean Butler's going to get out of jail some way.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be Sean.
I don't know. We do need to clarify with people because there is a little bit of confusion on the whole Sean Butler thing. And I have the answers for you.
Okay, Matt.
They're like, what? Why would Sean do that? Now he's going to spend even more time in jail. They really, with the conversation with Jordan, really established that he wasn't going to be charged for this. He wasn't going to be punished for this. They're going to accept the story that he defended himself against Jason. So if anything, this is actually going to hurt Jason in jail more than it hurts Sean in jail. Because the story is Jason came after Sean and Sean defended himself.
Well, didn't Jordan say you both are going to say the same thing? I defended myself.
Yeah.
Self-defense.
Boom. Nobody's getting in trouble.
No
one's getting in trouble for it. So no more added on to sentence. No extra charges added to Jason Morgan's bucket list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everything's cool. Everything's fine. And maybe Sean will get out of jail. I mean, they did rehire the actor.
Sean's in jail for shooting Hayden.
Yeah. Well, shooting somebody's still a crime, whether or not they die.
Well, I know, but he didn't shoot her, and she survived. Yeah, he'd been in jail a long time.
Well, he pled guilty to shooting Hayden Barnes.
Yes.
So you're going to jail. That's just how the legal system works. Unless you plead guilty, and it's obviously beyond obvious that you didn't do it, and the judge is like, come on.
Well, I'm just... I don't know for sure. I haven't read or heard for sure that he's going to be let out and actually be a character on the show, or if it, you know, he's got one or two days and he's done. But that doesn't really make sense or 2 days and gone.
No, I don't think so. I think that they are going to be using the jail as a location for a little while.
I think so too.
And you know, it's going to be able to offer up opportunities for older characters to come through that might still be there, like Sean or Heather Weber, Kevin.
Bless you. Well, Kevin. I want him to come back. I want him to go to work for Curtis.
Yeah.
And be the bouncer.
The whole Asher family working at the Savoy.
To be the bouncer or, you know, security or whatever.
Yeah.
At the Savoy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's Savoy. What I'd love to see.
Right.
And
right.
They also mentioned that TJ, and that hasn't been depicted on the show at all, but TJ's been visiting him weekly.
Oh, yes. Yeah, with Sean. You're trying to make...
Or monthly.
Yeah, it was monthly. I really look forward to TJ's visits. Oh, he didn't tell me he's been visiting you. Yeah, so they established that TJ and Sean will have a relationship, so that if Sean does come out of jail and he has opportunities to interact with TJ on screen, they can know what's been happening in each other's lives and be invested in each other's stories already without some sort of catch-up that needs to happen.
And... Sean has a very established relationship with Molly.
Yeah. Okay.
Because he used to run Kelly's.
Yeah.
And Molly and TJ, when they were teenagers, mm-hmm. almost every scene they had was in Kelly's.
Okay.
So he's very aware of Molly.
Right. Okay. So here's also, now that we're talking about.
He was slippity dipping with her mama for a while.
well, whatever. It is what it is. Though that's where it gets all complicated relationship wise, because if for some reason you found yourself single, it's not like you would date the father of my boyfriend. That would be weird for you, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, fantasy world soap opera is very strange. Anyway. Now that we're really analyzing the conversation that Jordan had with Sean in jail, I think that it's an indication that they are going to be using Sean for at least a little while, because the majority of that conversation was reestablishing who Sean is with the other characters and players in Port mm-hmm. Charles. You mm-hmm. are TJ's real father, but didn't originally know about it. It complicated our relationship in such a way where you hated me up until this very moment. We're having this conversation right now where we come to the acceptance that it actually worked out best for TJ, the fact that I lied to you. Like, mm-hmm. that conversation is significant to have, especially if you have plans, longer term plans for a character, rather than somebody coming in for 2 days. When they brought in the Duke Ghost, they weren't going to have some sort of major character shift for him because he was just going to be a day or two player.
Mm-hmm.
This, with Sean, is actually kind of a character shift. Now we can have a positive interaction with Jordan. Now they can work together in some capacity. Now they can maybe co-parent TJ in some way once he gets out of jail. So it does really seem like they might have some at least short-term plans for Sean, which might turn into long-term plans,
mm-hmm.
depending and on how everything goes.
When they first showed him, I was kind of, I didn't know for sure. And the whole thing with Jason, but they explained it later. I wasn't sure. Okay. Is he angry at the Corinthos clan for like letting him go to jail and stay there forever? You know? Or is he still part of the organization? He's still part of the organization.
Yeah, he's still part of the organization. I mean, it could have shifted into the reason why he could be still in there is maybe because he is one of the Corinthos' eyes within the prison itself. You know, he still right. has a role. He's still playing a role within the organization. It's just shifted from enforcer to informant from mm-hmm. within Pittenville. Like, it would make sense as to why Sean is still there working for the organization, serving out his sentence and not having some sort of major problem with the Corinthoses, still being willing to help them get Jason to the hospital through this stabbing, mm-hmm. all of that, you know? I think that it does make perfect sense. And connected mm-hmm. to all of that is also Molly and TJ, because of his previous relationship with Molly, the fact that he's a father, and also Molly and TJ's conversation about what Molly's career goals are going forward as a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And they very much brought up the difference between what happened to Sean versus what happened to Alexis when it comes to sentencing. And with Molly yes. on the inside, after she passes the bar exam and becomes a junior ADA, she will have a little bit of influence and power in maybe even readdressing some of these sentences or some of these cases before. And we could be moving into some sort of interesting progressive race relations and the law storyline briefly at General Hospital, which I think is a very important conversation to have, especially with the age group that likes to watch General Hospital.
Yes. And Molly got to have some better follow through on this one than she did on that whole Cassadine story and research, because she didn't do that.
Well, you know. You know, things don't always stick. But it does seem like Molly and TJ might be getting a little bit of a promotion when it comes to how much time that they have on screen together. They've been making it very obvious that they're about to enter their next stage of their lives. They're about to leave school.
Yeah, they have made it very clear that they are not children any longer.
Yeah, now they are going to be grown-ass adults with careers and lives. I'm going to be a junior ADA. I'm going to be a full-fledged doctor. We're going to be living in the woods together in your mom's house while she's in jail. You know, they are setting the stage for characters like Molly and TJ to start maybe taking off and taking a little bit of the spotlight from some of these other characters, which is cool. It's awesome. I really enjoy fresh blood and new stories. I hope everybody does.
Well, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I certainly do.
Yeah, yeah. And I think Molly and TJ are really adorable together. I think the actors have really good chemistry together. I'm really looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it, too. And I wouldn't be I know he's going to be a doctor and whatnot, but TJ needs a little edge. Make him just a little bit of a badass.
Just a little bit. You can get him a motorcycle.
Yeah. Something.
Well, he did seem to be particularly passionate in his conversation with Molly about where we stand when it comes to the legal system in the United States of America. So maybe he'll go light a trash can on fire somewhere. I don't know how these things work. I don't know how change is made. I'm just a podcaster about soap operas.
Yeah. Just two people that like to watch this silly show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Honestly, the character I think that really needs a little bit of edge is Harrison Chase. I don't know what's been happening to him over the last couple of months, but he's just been getting younger and younger and younger in his attitude.
He has.
I don't know. I guess they're trying to go for like the boyish thing, but I don't know if that necessarily is working right now.
He got a heartache coming, doesn't he?
He sure does. Maybe that's what they're setting up. They're making him seem particularly sensitive in the moment so he can be particularly extra hurt down the line.
Well, Brooklyn's going to rip off that foam padded belly of hers. And she's going to like some Chase.
Well, she did call him handsome. So, yeah, you know, Chase is going to come to Brooklyn for some sort of comfort after he finds out the truth about Michael and Willow. And so that'll take them to where they're going and such. But, you know, poor guy. He's just such a little kid in that hospital bed, though. No, don't go. Stay. Stay with me, please. I feel so much better when I can look at your face. Yeah. And then I start thinking about my life and times that I've said things like that. And I'm just like, oh, man, that just sounds so dumb. And then, you know, I start judging myself because Chase and you know, I just need him to grow a stubble and film another cowboy movie again. That's just what I need.
Oh, I came across that movie on Netflix on the menu like yesterday. I was like, oh, look, still watch that.
Well, maybe I'll watch it this afternoon.
No, it's still there. On the Netflix.
Oh,
California,
man.
Christmas, right? California Christmas?
Oh, yeah, yeah. California Christmas, yes.
Which doesn't make any sense because it's cowboy.
You know, it's a ranch hand up in Northern California where there's ranches.
Yeah.
Or something.
Well, there are some ranches here.
Listen, man, clearly he had some sort of deal with the Hallmark. All right, here, what it is, it's actually very inspiring to me. I feel like I could write a Hallmark-style Christmas movie myself without any like sort of formal training and be able to sell that somewhere and have it be made. Like, it's really inspiring, honestly, that movies like A California Christmas are greenlit and put into production and very well received. I'm constantly auditioning for things, hoping that some sort of important mover and shaker listens to our podcast one time and reaches out to me and says, Matthew, I need you for my project, please. I'm looking for opportunity to knock at my door and just throw it at my feet. I don't want to do any work for it. I don't want to seek it out myself. I don't want to make a demo reel. I want somebody to call me and say, you got it, buddy. That's what I want. Make it happen.
I can't stop thinking about you.
I just can't stop thinking about the performance. That Sunny Corinto set you do is just so good. I need it for my program. That's what I want, you know. You know, I want you to come and play a Southern Kentucky lawyer on my radio drama, in which I say that I'm going to prosecute you to the fullest extent of the law. You know, that's what I want. So somebody reach out to me and tell me that I'm good. Tell me I'm good. Tell me I'm good.
Boy, if I ever,
tell me I'm good, Mom. Tell me I'm good. Tell me I'm
you
good.
You are awesome, Matt.
Oh, thank you so much.
You are. Of course you're awesome. Come on now.
Oh, thank you so much. Oh, I feel good. I feel good about myself. I feel good. I feel good.
What?
I feel good. What?
Round two.
Yeehaw. Woo! Well, everybody, thank you for joining us here at Dixon Falls, Pennsylvania. So far away from the South, but dag nabbit, we're going to go ahead and have ourselves a classic cowboy hoedown anyway. We have raised all of $275 for the downtown restoration project. That's going to get us one brand new traffic light. Thank you so much for all of your auction donations. Thank you very much for your listenership and your patronage here in Dixon Falls. I am Mayor Castillo. I don't know. I just made up a name. And we'll see you next time right here on the 10th floor. I've been Matt.
I've been Kat.
And thank you so much for joining us and just being silly and having a great time talking about General Hospital and playing around with sound. All right, take care, everybody. We'll see you next week. All right, bye.